We're delighted to welcome to the program Emily Morrison. She is the Chief Clinical Officer at Integral. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Miracle. And Jessica Hendricks is the Training and Quality Director.
You got it.
All right. So what's Integral? Who wants to tackle that?
Yeah, I will. So Integral is a company that provides mental health services across the lifespan. So we treat infants and toddlers with their moms with attachment and bonding all the way up through the lifespan. We development, life crisis, mental health issues, we kind of tackle it all.
Toddlers don't have any crisis, do they? Other than dirty diapers?
Well, dirty diapers, but man, parenting a toddler can be awfully challenging.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So what's your job?
So I am the Chief Clinical Officer, and I am in charge of all of our clinical programs across Jackson and Hillsdale. So we provide outpatient services, so that's coming into an office and talking to a therapist or, you know, whatever you may need. We offer that in our Jackson office. And then in both Hillsdale and Jackson, we have a home-based team that serves birth through about the age of 18, where we go into people's homes and work with them in the community, kind of wherever they're at, to work with children and their families for difficulties they may be experiencing.
So, Jessica, talk about your job.
So as the training and quality director, I oversee the training of all of our clinical staff. So when they are hired on, getting them on board and ready to be serving the community. I also tackle supervising specialty programs. So we have a team of infant mental health specialists. Those are our kiddos. Those are our therapists that work with the kiddos and parents birth to three. And then we have specialty work with trauma. So we have a team that specializes in treating children and their families who've experienced trauma. And so I get to oversee the training and supervising of those clinicians as well.
So fair to say you're busy?
Yeah, a little bit.
But you like to be busy. Are you looking for staff or...
We are always looking for staff. So kind of like everybody else right now, there's a work shortage, right? And what we're finding is that just not as many people are going into the field. And so we are always looking for quality staff that want to serve people and help. And we look for people who are resilient, people who can be with others in hard spaces, and people who just have a desire to help and to walk people through difficult times in life.
So what are the requirements?
Well, in order to be providing therapy or psychotherapy, you have to have a master's degree either in social work, counseling, or psychology.
So that rules most of the planet out, right?
It does. It narrows it down.
It narrows it down quite a bit.
Yes,
it does. We also are welcoming of interns. So if we have some students in the community, we have obviously a bunch of great local universities that are looking for an internship in the social service field. We welcome that. We love to build the resilience and skill set of the young professionals going into the field.
So you work with old folks too, right?
Yes, we work with everybody.
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 Okay, talk about the pandemic and how that changed things for you.
Yeah, so it really changed the entire way we provided service. But I think what we're noticing most is as we're coming out of the pandemic, right, you know, things still exist, but we notice that change happens so rapidly for people that... people that are coming in now, we're seeing higher rates of anxiety. We're seeing that in adults and in children, and it presents a little differently in each. We're seeing people who want to make major life changes as a result of the pandemic, and we're also dealing with people who are grieving, people who feel loss, right? We had so much change, not only loss of life, but people lost jobs, people's families moved apart. There were a lot of impacts, and I think we are just now starting to see the impacts of what happened 3 years ago.
Yeah, What about the kids really missing at least a year of school? In some cases, it was probably more than that.
Yeah, definitely. They lost their sense of normalcy. They missed out on a lot of those normal big moments. So the kids that missed out going to prom or having their regular field trips, kids thrive on routine and structure. And that was completely changed because of the pandemic. So now we're seeing kids that are struggling to adapt to structure again. They're struggling with their peer relationships because they were pretty isolated and they weren't having those social interactions at the same level that they had been prior to the pandemic happening. And so we're helping children and families rebuild their social skills and rebuild their resilience, their ability to tolerate stress. So many of them lost their sense of control. None of us had control over the pandemic and what was happening.
Right.
And so we found that children and adults were seeking senses of control in other ways, in ways that may not have been the healthiest.
Hey, there was, I don't know if you caught this report by the Surgeon General yesterday on social media, how they say it can be extremely harmful to teens. You weren't listening to me?
I didn't. I missed it.
You gotta listen to this show.
We're so busy, right? You.
Oh, that's true. I know how busy. You were up at 6 o'clock and solving everybody's problems. You didn't hear that.
I didn't.
How about social media with all this?
So
you must have to deal with that.
Absolutely, we deal with social media. So one thing that happened as a result of the pandemic is we used social media and the internet to connect with each other because we were socially isolated.
Yeah.
So it was promoted more. But what we find is that often social media is used as a way to numb out, right? Especially with our teens, with adults. I don't want to be a part of what is going on in my life, so I'm going to get on social media, and I'm just going to be there. And it really is, it can be comparable to somebody who numbs out from drinking or somebody who numbs out by using drugs. So it can be...
So it's just a vice.
It really is. It's just a vice. I am not saying it is all bad, right? I would be a complete hypocrite if I said that.
Yeah.
But we need to monitor it, especially with our kids. There is so much out there that is just not good. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It's just not good, and it's harmful. So being able to help parents know how to monitor that, how to help parents have conversations about it, right? You're not going to keep your teenager completely off social media, but how do you have conversations? And that's something that we work with parents on.
So, Jessica, how do you bring stability back to these kids?
Well, in general, we talk a lot about resilience, the ability to tolerate stress. And so one of the things that we try to encourage is finding moments of joy. So whether that's with a child or an adult, things that bring them joy, oftentimes hobbies, physical activities, sports, etc., music, creativity, are one of the ways that we bring joy. For adults and children, we look for moments of awe. So think about things that give you awe, like a beautiful rainbow or something that just sort of inspires you, that gives you a moment to realize how beautiful this world is and how special things can be. We talk about having passion, and so fueling your passion, whether that's, it might not be in your work, you might not have a career that necessarily fuels your passion, so you have things outside of your job, your work, that fuels your passion. And then the last thing is your tribe. You really want to have a community of people around you, and for children, that includes their teachers, that includes their caregivers, their extended family members, even community members in their neighborhood, but having a sense of tribe so that we're not feeling so alone and isolated in such a big, wide world.
Now, you guys probably weren't listening. Supreme Court Justice Richard Bernstein just came back to the bench after admitting to having mental issues.
Yeah, I actually heard that this morning.
You did?
I did.
Were you listening?
I was listening on my way in this morning.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I think it's so important for people to speak out, right? Because we speak out when...
Yeah, that's a big voice when you have a Supreme Court justice admitting to...
To saying, yeah, I needed to take some time off because I was having some depressive symptoms, right? That were getting in the way of my ability to work or my ability to carry on with everyday life. And that's how we know when it's time to seek out professional help, is when... I can't do the things that I would normally be able to do. And when we have big people speak out about it, it makes it easier for everybody else. It's so easy to talk about our physical health. It's not easy to talk about our mental health, right? People will think we're crazy. People will think something's wrong with us.
Yeah.
We don't have a problem telling somebody we broke our leg or we were in a car accident. Right, but it's different when we say we have anxiety or we're feeling depressed.
Yeah, no.
And there's really a huge correlation between physical health and mental health. And for children, we first notice a lot of times if their mental health is struggling, we see it in physical symptoms. So you might hear a kid say they have a tummy ache or they have a headache or they don't feel good because they don't know what's going on in their brains, and so they feel it in their bodies. Even with adults,
really?
We experience physical symptoms in our bodies when we're having mental health struggles. So our shoulders are tense. We're more on edge. We react to sounds because we're anxious. If we're depressed, we might feel sluggish. Our sleep is impacted. We have a difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, or maybe we sleep more. But our bodies really are an avenue to our mental health for the better or signs of when it may be not so good.
Does that work the other way around? If you have a physical issue, that's going to affect your mental 100, outlook?
100%. Yeah. So we have people that come in who have chronic health issues, right? And when you are in pain or when you are constantly having your daily routine interrupted by doctor's appointments, right? When you have major life changes because of your health, it absolutely can impact your mental health. And we want people to recognize that when you do have major physical things occur, that we have to be paying attention to our mental health also.
So how do people hook up with you guys?
Yeah, so...
And how do they pay for it?
Yeah, pretty easy. So we have a Facebook page. They can reach out on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
We have a website, IntegroServicesMI.com, and they can call our office. We have a wonderful receptionist who's been there over 20 years who can tell you all about our services. Our phone number is 789-1234. It's a super easy one to remember. And we take most private insurances, and we also serve the Medicaid population. So for people who have Medicaid, they actually come through Lifeways Community Mental Health first,
uh-huh.
And are assessed and then can be referred to Integro for their services.
Okay, but you're not hooked up with Lifeways?
We actually are. We're contracted.
Okay.
So people go there, and Lifeways helps them figure out what service they need, and then they send them to us, and we provide the service.
So go to the website, or you must have a phone number. They can call right now.
Yep, 789-1234.
And you're located at?
We are located on West Avenue, actually at the opposite end of the Lifeways building.
Okay. Right there with Lifeways.
Yep.
Well, stay busy.
We will. No fear of that.
Thanks for coming out. Emily Morrison and Jessica Hendricks from Integro, if you need some mental assistance.